These are the voices of Rotary.
The voices that tell our stories.
The voices that share our why.
The voices that make our lives matter.
The voices that relieve suffering and anguish.
These are the voices of Rotary that change lives.
Take a listen.
Hello, I am Michelle Corradetti, and I am here with my podcast partner, Alan Harper. We are both past presidents of our respective Rotary clubs here in the Rogue Valley in Oregon. We are embarking on episode 3 of The Almeida Fire, Rising from the Ashes. In the previous 2 episodes, you heard and experienced what different Rotarians here in our valley and also residents experienced on that horrific day of September 8th, 2020.
Thanks, Michelle. The end of episode 2, we heard probably the most emotional and moving interview that we did from Catalina Gomez and her son Adriel, who lost everything. And it was just as emotional hearing their thoughts and observations on trying to come back and see if they had a home or any possessions the next morning.
The part that got to me wasn't that my stuff was gone. It was the walk there. We had to cross over a freeway on-ramp. And
it was fire under the freeway.
All I remember hearing was people yelling in English, Spanish, whatever language they knew, just screaming that there was a fire underneath us. But we were too determined to turn around at that point. There was wind, sand, dirt blowing into our eyes, people crying, destroyed, walking away from their homes, that they're just defeated because they lost everything. I remember walking there, seeing my friends, and not being able to go up to them because I didn't know the words to say that could help, and just having to walk. I remember seeing my friends' houses gone. I had memories of, like, being there at times, just, you know, like, I don't know. But then we get to where our place was, and I tried to be strong, you know?
For your mom.
Be as comforting as I could. I made jokes, kept smiling, took some pictures for our insurance, whatever she asked me to do. And then we just walked back. That was it.
From an economic perspective, Guy Tower, the chief economist for the state of Oregon, sums up the devastation and describes those populations here in the Rogue Valley that were affected most by the Almeida Fire.
It really impacted folks in the Phoenix Talent District. I heard estimates, I think it was around 40% of families in for example, at Phoenix Elementary, lost a family home. So really devastating for, because a lot of that, those homes were, you know, kind of what you hear is naturally occurring affordable housing. You know, there were a lot of older homes, smaller, maybe single wide mobile homes, and it was affordable, you know, a lot of those homes were paid for and possibly underinsured. And so so that was one area, those, you know, the family card. And then there were also, you know, according to some data I looked at from census data, about 1 in 4 of the people in that fire-affected area were over 65, too. So you had a lot of older people that either lived on their own or older couples, but a lot of retirees, people in retirement age, in those mobile home parks as well, too. So I know you always, you know, you hear a lot about the families and being able to at least reach out to the families, to the schools. But how do those older people, how do they connect to services? That's, you know, something that I always worry about, too.
One thing to remember about the Almeida Fire was that on September 8th, the Rogue Valley had record winds. And it's those winds that really swept the fire from the edges of Ashland, north, down the Bear Creek Valley, into the communities of Talent and Phoenix. The wind was blowing so fast that the firefighters could barely keep up with it, but it also caused a random hopscotch pattern of destruction. taking one home, setting another business on fire, sometimes skipping entire neighborhoods and setting a fire in an entirely different place. The randomness and the pattern of destruction is something that the community continues to struggle with, and everyone we interviewed had stories of how that randomness and the feeling of it impacted them.
And one of them was a really dear Rotary friend, and I didn't even know that was his house until days later, and it came up at a Rotary meeting that, hey, he got evacuated, and I was, I got a lot of redemption out of feeling like, okay, at least somebody's house we saved is somebody that is really dear to me because of Rotary, that I know this person, and we've developed a friendship in our club, and oftentimes we spend, you know, from 5:30 in the morning until our club meeting starts at 7, getting ready and putting out breakfast. And so we had spent a lot of good time together, and I just thought, wow, we saved Jim's house.
And I truly felt that my house was, you'd be gone. Why wouldn't I? I mean, it was, and then they always tell you, the insurance companies, oh, well, manufactured homes go up, boom, like that. And I am amazed that they were able to save it.
And I thought, what happened? How is this possible? How come this house didn't burn, my place burned, the next house is still there? What happened? I couldn't understand what happened. So when we got there, everything was gone. There was nothing there, absolutely nothing.
There's 144. 21 survived. And you look at me, why did I survive? Why did Gloria survive? Why did those two? And they said that the wind shifted just like that.
It may seem random because an engine happened to be available. They happened to have a tank of water, and they drove by, and this building was burning and this one wasn't. And they protected the one that wasn't burning, and they moved on. And nobody will know, except the firefighters that were there, which buildings got protected, but clearly with many, many dozens, we had every fire engine we could get from Jackson and Josephine County on this fire. There were a lot of saves. A lot of firefighters did courageous, amazing things and saved buildings. And we won't, most people won't know where that was, and it seems random, but there were a lot of hard work.
It jumped, and it would go here and there. So Davy's Diner right next door was saved. The RV park was saved. And it skipped through various locations in Phoenix. I thought it interesting. There was no way they could have prevented the fire from getting to these spots. But it seemed like all the food places were spared.
Probably the overall epic victory is this fire was stopped.
It is truly a blessing this fire was extinguished when it was and did not wreak havoc on any of the other communities here in the Rogue Valley. Imagine this tragedy happening to you, and how would you cope moving forward?
We don't really talk about it. No one really does. You don't really want to, you know? It helps to open up to people every once in a while and, like, talk about what happened and find reassurance that, you know, like, you went through that. But even if it happens again, you know you'll be fine. Like my mom said, you have mm-hmm. the people that matter, and that's all you can really ask for. So we don't really talk about it. I mean, just on my cross-country team alone, there was two of us who lost our houses, and we never talked about it. I don't know. We just kept going on like nothing happened. Every once in a while, you make jokes about it because you don't want to think about it, like as something that really affected you, and you don't want to show that. But it's true. Like, it happened, it hurt, and it's still there. So it's going to be there.
A lot of people have done a lot of grieving over this. On all sides, and firefighters included, have done a lot of counseling and stress management, just trying to download the whole experience with friends, colleagues, you know, counselors, whatever it takes to get through it. It's really challenging.
I never stopped working during that time.
Yeah.
I didn't take a day off. I never called in. Every day for me was I went to school online, I got in my car, I went to work, came home, went to bed, and did the exact same thing every night. Because I just didn't want to have to live or think with what was going on.
That experience is going to weigh heavy on a lot of first responders for a long time. And the physical piece of it as well, just all the smoke exposure to incredibly toxic, horrible smoke. Enough firefighters die from cancer every year as it is. And, you know, when firefighters go into one burning house, you can minimize that exposure. But when you're in a neighborhood of hundreds of burning houses, you can't minimize that kind of exposure. And it's toxic. And there probably are long-term health effects that are going to be a part of a lot of people's lives. And I hope that it doesn't turn out that way. And I hope that we don't have repeated exposure. So I'm on exposure number two from fires like that. And I'm kind of worried.
And why am I standing? So here I'm staying at this motel and I'm going through major survivor guilt. And I'm thinking, why was I saved? And all these people I know, they have nothing.
What Alan and I had hoped to achieve with these first three episodes of the Almeida Fire Rising from the Ashes was for you to hear firsthand what fellow Rotarians and community members here in the Rogue Valley experienced during this tragic event. This will lead up to our final episode where you will hear how the United Rotary Clubs of Southern Oregon were formed and stepped up to the plate. Stay tuned.
And it's only now that people know where they can go instead. Like, it took something this horrible for people to, like, finally know who they can turn to, who's actually going to be there to help rebuild. And I want to know that there's people still out there willing to give anything they can for their city and just their county.
Next time on Voices of Rotary.
Rotary's highest honor recognizes Rotarians who personify Rotary's motto, service above self. Only a maximum of 150 nominations worldwide are considered, and even fewer are actually selected. Frances Dixon was recognized with this very special award.
I went to Guatemala with the idea that it was another country that I wanted to visit. When I arrived in Guatemala, there was something profoundly different. There was something that went way beyond poverty, and something that would ultimately completely change my life.
There is so much need out there. Have you ever wondered how you can help? Join us for the journey at voicesofrotary.org.